Yeah, I said this yesterday, but I don't want you to miss it. If you want to keep listening to the Daily Psalm Meditation, I really want you to, because I'm enjoying them. I hope you're enjoying them too. But you're going to have to start getting them from their proper owner over at KFUO. So in your podcast subscription feed, go search for His Time and KFUO together. You'll be sure to find the His Time podcast. It's two different podcasts every day, and the first one, about 20 minutes long, includes this psalm meditation, a meditation on a proverb, as well as a devotional meditation on something else of value to your Christian faith. I know you will not be disappointed if you've been enjoying these psalms. It's just more of it coming your way every single day. But also, don't forget, stay tuned here. Rev Fisk Raw is ramping it up. Revelation Unleashed should be released only just a few minutes after this one. In fact, you might even have listened to it first. I wouldn't blame you. Psalm 49, verses 1 to 3 and verses 7 through 10. Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom. The meditation of my heart shall be understanding. Truly, no man can ransom another, or give to God the price of his life. For the ransom of their life is costly, and can never suffice, that he should live on forever and never see the pit. For he sees that even the wise die. The fool and the stupid alike must perish and leave their wealth to others. Psalm 49, verses 1 to 3 and 7 through 10. It's a psalm that really stands apart from its placement in the rest of the Psalter around it. It is highly didactic. That is, it says it's going to teach. Now, all of them teach, but this one is really clearly intending to claim, sit down, listen up, I got something to say to you. The poet himself steps forward as a preacher. And it is his intent to lecture you on wisdom, particularly on the transitory nature of our present age, the passing nature of our fallen condition, with an emphasis on the empty vanity of riches, particularly, like even more narrowly, the riches of the wicked that seem to look as if they're succeeding in all things, but which at the end of the day amount to little more than dust and ashes. The poet would lecture us on this failed reality of the present, but also on the real hope, the thing which this age cannot touch, the strength of those who look forward to a redemption made not by gold or silver, but by the word of God, by the promise of God, and as you now know, Christian, by the blood of Jesus. So the poet starts out by telling us how we're all in this boat together. Hey, everybody, inhabitants of the entire world, everything that dwells on this earth, listen up. Whether you're low, whether you're high, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, this truth, this word applies to you. There is no context so special that what I'm about to say doesn't impact you directly, immediately, and permanently. And then he calls from himself wisdom, kind of reminds you of Elihu. Remember the book of Job? Young man comes at the end of the book. His three friends have been such poor company in the midst of his trial, saying, oh, well, you just need to justify yourself. You just need to work a little harder. Must be some unconfessed sin in your life. And along comes Elihu and says, no, no, no. Listen up, listen up. I will speak wisdom to you since you all can't manage to handle repeating what God's word actually says. Well, here now the poet, the prophet, says as much. My mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be understanding, which is not to say, hey, I figured this out. I'm so clever. You should listen to me. He's saying, look, if no one else is going to speak the word of God, then I will. So listen up. Here it is. It's been given to me. It's contained in Torah, Old Testament word for it's contained in the Holy Scriptures. And I will dwell on this and give this to you. When the Psalter says in another place, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. It's not saying, may what I come up with just hopefully be okay. It's asking, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Let your word be taught in its truth and purity. Let us as the children of God lead holy lives according to it. Help us to do this, dear Father in heaven. Send your Holy Spirit, that by your grace we believe your holy word and lead godly lives not only here, but also hereafter in eternity. The psalmist says, my mouth will speak this understanding to you, and one of the deepest edges of this understanding is that no man alive has the power to ransom himself or any other man's life in the sight of God. Now, it skips over the part which it says that most men will trust in their riches, and it jumps straight into it at verse 7 with the fact that no man can ransom another's life. Now, you would expect here for the psalmist to say, no man can save his own life. But so bad is our condition, so deplorable our state, that it doesn't really even just apply to you. None of us can help each other. No matter how hard we try, none of us can stop death. Because death is not something we bring upon each other. Even though we do take it into our own hands to murder from time to time, death is something which God has sent. Who can give to God the ransom price, the payment price, the debt which is owed to pay for your life? The ransom price is costly, it says. It is beyond measure. It is a debt so great we can't even fathom what it is. We will never suffice. We will never be able to escape the fact of the pit of Sheol, the burden and wages of our sin. If you're wise, doesn't matter, you're going to die. If you're fool, doesn't matter, you're going to die. If you're rich, doesn't matter, you're going to die. If you're poor, doesn't matter, you're going to die. Because no man can ransom the life of another man before God, with one exception. God can ransom the life of another man before God if God becomes a man. Now, that is not the meditation of the psalm. It never goes there. It simply continues to exhort you to not become dismayed by the present of what you see in the world, knowing that it's all going to come to an end anyway, and that the kingdoms of man are kingdoms built on sand which must fall, and so you must ultimately put your hope in the rock which will not fall. But that rock, spoken of constantly throughout the Psalter, spoken of constantly throughout the Old Testament, revealed ever so clearly in the New Testament, is the God who became man, the one man, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as a ransom not only for one man, but as a ransom for many. That as by one man's sin death entered the world, so by one man's righteousness life would come. So that by one man's eating of the fruit all men fell, so also by one man's drinking of the cup of God's wrath all men would be restored, purchased, justified. The close of Psalm 49 gets to this is verse 15, where it says that God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol. It is up to God to buy us back from death. And in confidence, the psalmist says, he will receive me. And this is most certainly true. For baptizing you into his name, the Lord God already has.